Amen. And good morning to everyone.
Morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Yes.
Do you love God?
Yes.
Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
I keep falling. Sing it with me.
Yes.
Over and, yes. Over and over and over.
Yes.
Oh, I keep falling in love with him. Over and over and over. Sing it like you mean it this morning. And he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my God and I keep falling. Yes, over and over and over and over. And he keeps blessing. Yes, over and over. Yes. Over and over and over again. Oh, he keeps blessing me. Over and over and over and over and over again. And he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what between my God and I keep falling. With him over and over and over and one more time. And I keep falling. Thank you, Lord. Over and over. God is good. Over and over. Yes. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And he gets sweeter as the days go by. Yes, oh, what a love between my God and I keep falling with him over and over and over and over again. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly, truly honored guests here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. I started a lesson series last week entitled The Apologetics Series, The Apologetics Series, not The Apology Series. Apologetics meaning to defend, defending the faith, defending the faith. And we gave tried to give a foundational lesson of the importance of and the frequency that Jesus and the apostles had to defend the faith. One of the passages we read on last week, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. In responding to a number of questions, a number of inquiries, a number of conversations that I've had in the not too distant past with many individuals, both male and female, but primarily young men, who are asking Bible questions, life questions. Some of them are very foundational. Some of the questions perhaps you have asked that people are challenging us at every hand on what we believe, why we believe it. And some of us, we know what we believe, but we don't know how to explain what we believe. We just believe it because we've been taught it for so long and it's been ingrained in us, but we know, according especially to the word of God, we have evidence of what we believe. Even there is evidence outside of the word of God that would confirm and defend what many of us believe. I have committed to doing about four lessons. I did one last week, an introductory lesson. This week, the lesson today is, does God exist? And I know some of you will have to bear with me. And some of you probably say, Brother Gary, does God exist? I answered that long time ago. Well, how do you know God exists?
All right.
And we know that the scriptures tell us without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we know it is a faith question. But the scripture also tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So don't just go tell somebody, I believe in God because I believe in God. Now that's okay, but you have more than that conversation to have with an individual. And so we want to expand on it a little bit and help us, if you will, especially those that are grounded in your faith, and you know that you're not going anywhere, and you know what you believe, but there are some folk coming up behind you. There are some young men and some young women who have been exposed to more than what you were exposed to at their age. And they have more access to information and more access to more cultures and more gods, if you will, amen, with a little G. And we have to give them some strength and some foundations to build on. And the word apologetics involves responding to any intellectual challenge to our faith, to the Christian faith. Notice, and some people have some sincere questions. I mean, some questions that we shouldn't get mad that somebody is asking us. We shouldn't get angry that they're asking questions. Some of the questions you had yourself, but you were afraid to ask them. You had yourself, but you just didn't want to feel like you were doubting God. But God haven't left us here alone. He's given us all kinds of evidence that we can build our faith even though we have not seen God. Right. Yes, yes. And so we know, absolutely, we know that the scripture is crystal clear on the evidence of God. The lessons I'm going to do in this order: does God exist? Is the Bible inspired, or is the Bible reliable? And I almost need to start there first, but I'm not going to start there first. Because, so much of my evidence comes out of the Bible. Amen, somebody. But to those who are, see, everybody is not churched. Everybody didn't sit in Bible class, hadn't grown up in Bible class. Some people haven't even opened their Bible. So you come to what's the Bible? It's just another book, if you will. The lessons are the deity of Christ and where Christ is in all of this picture, and then the church or not, in that order, we hope to deliver these lessons. But the scripture is crystal clear, and I have to hit them first, but I'm coming back to something I think that hopefully you can relate to. In Nehemiah chapter 9, the brother just read and you hear, and I'm going through these fairly quickly. You alone are the Lord. See, if you believe in the Bible, there should be no doubt in your mind who God is. Absolutely at all. It states it over you. One of the scriptures, if you don't know any other scripture, you know Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what the Bible says. And you see, you can quit right there if you have faith enough to believe that with all of your hearts. Now, notice, now you don't have to understand this. Some of us, you don't have to know the whole Bible to believe in God. Amen. Amen. And don't let folk confuse you, because all they're going to take you is to something else that they believe or don't believe. They'll take you to another book, and you have to ask them, where did you get your book from? What's your belief based on? So you just like me. And I'll take my chances, if you will. If I hadn't read any other book, I'd take my chances with God. Amen, amen, somebody. But we have more to offer than just that. We certainly do. Nehemiah 9:6. You alone are the Lord. You've made the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts. Notice the inclusiveness. No doubt. No, God not sharing this with anybody. The earth and all that is on it. The seas and all that is in them. Every bug, every fish, every worm. Yes, you give life to all of them. And the heavenly host bows down before you, God. Makes it clear that I made it all, amen, if you will. Psalms 92, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before anything was here, God was already here. Psalms 86:8, he alone is God. God's not shed. See, this is a foundation you got to get right. Because there is no sharing God's glory. There is no sharing God's commandments. There is no any way we'll do to get to God. God wants it all. You know, I'm married to Sister KB, and I want all of her love. Amen, somebody. I'm not sharing it with none of you hard-headed brothers in here. Amen. I want every last drop of her love. You got that right. There is none like him among, notice, the little G gods. All nations should worship him. Oh, Brother Gary, you know, different people worship God in different ways. You didn't get that from the word of God. I don't care if you're Chinese, Vietnamese, Australian, whatever, African. God wants all nations to worship him and him alone because he made them. Psalms 95:1, the Lord is the great God and king above all gods. You have to, in the Bible, God, he recognized these, my little children, they're going to make other little gods. They're going to make other little gods, and I don't know what they're thinking about because I am the God. I'm the king. I don't care what you call them, what you paint them, what you put on them, what you dress them up with. You can put gold and silver on them, but I'm the king of all gods. He made the sea and his hands formed the dry land. Worship the Lord our maker, for he is God. Psalms 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. Hallelujah. We are his people and the sheep of his pastor. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Go to the New Testament, Brother Gary. Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. He who lives forever and ever is the one who created heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. Yes, God, yes, God exists. Not only does God exist, God owns. Not only that God does God own, God rules. Not only does God rule, God is in charge of everything. Notice, in this world, one God for all people, black, white, yellow, red, and brown. And so, see, this is one you got to get right, or you will misunderstand everything about life. If you don't get this foundation right, because this is like, you know, you're working on a job and you don't know who the boss is. And you're just working and working and you don't know who the boss is. You don't know who's in charge. You won't be working that long because you need to know who you're getting your paycheck. You look up and think it's paycheck time. You say, well, I'm here to get my check. You don't know who to get the check from? Yeah. Now notice this. I'm going to try to be timely. This is a part one, part two lesson. Does God exist? Part one. Now, that's the, what I just read you was scripture. Now, for those of you that's in the church, you get excited about that. Oh, that's in the way. We're getting, I know all those pastors, and you get excited about it. But folks that's not in the church, folks that haven't been reading their Bibles, folks that have not been exposed to the Word of God, that didn't excite them. See, and I know this is a biased audience I'm in here this morning. There's some folks who may be watching on television, it didn't stir them at all. They'll say, you know, that's just the Bible you're talking about. I need more than that. Now this to the church. Now, can I just? Because see, some of us. We we've been talking to the same people, and you know, and you don't see some of these kids are in school with folk who read all kind of stuff, and you almost can't come at them with the Bible. Now you just heard inspired revelation. Revelation is the revealing of. It means to reveal. Because there is inspired revelation. That's the Bible, and inspired revelation, it reveals God's character, his power. It'll tell us God's desire and his response he wants from man. And it tells us his expectation of man. That's what the inspired. But those who haven't been exposed to the Bible are those who will reject the inspired word. And I know, I also understand that I don't care what you do, some folk are not going to accept what you say anyway. But there are some that's on the fence. That's who we're after. Not only those, we're after those, we're trying to hold on to those who once had faith and now their faith has been shaken. Because we lose some of our young ones, especially when they go off to school and exposed to philosophy and all of this stuff. And they say, what, man, all this stuff makes sense. Then it don't make sense. Then I'm confused. I'm just not going to do nothing. But those who were rejected, those who reject inspired revelation, God has displayed tangible proof. And we call that the natural revelation. We alluded to it last week in the book of Romans, chapter 1. I'm going to go to one more passage to show you the format in which I'm going to try in the next 10 minutes or so to present some tangible proof. Because some folks, they're just like that. They got to touch stuff. They got to see it. They need to see it. I'm telling you, I'm kind of like that. I don't know. Might be some more in it. I respond better when I can see something. That's just me. You know, when I can touch it and measure it. I've always been very visual. Anybody else like that beside me? Okay, so you're not going to cooperate. Okay. Let me go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, I read this last week, his invisible attributes, because you know, not only this is about God, there are attributes that we have that are invisible. You can't see them. And God, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, divine means not of this world, his nature have been clearly, everybody say, seen. Notice this. How seen is literally, it is literally talking about the physical act of seeing. Because notice what he says, being understood through what has been made. This is the tangible proof that he says, so that they are without excuse. This is why God not going to excuse anybody that has ever lived in this world and tasted of what God has made. And you can't live in this world and not see God. And God says, I don't care if you haven't touched the Bible. If you've seen what I have done, you are without excuse. And so one of the things that I would encourage all of us, first of all, any of us, is to open our eyes and see God. Now, I know this is my presentation as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I labored over this. Brother Benton Bowe is speaking tonight. He's one of the deacons at the Memorial Church of Christ. He writes a newsletter every month. And Benton is an engineer, and he's very straightforward. But he has a passion about, he says, but Gary, he said, there are young people who are so confused. And he writes these articles on the impossibility of evolution, because evolution is one of the primary theories that those who don't believe in God will the answer they'll give for how we got here, that we somehow evolved over something. He has all of these formulas, and some of them are so technical. I'm like, ooh, bro, Benton, that's too deep, you know. But he's an engineer, and I asked him, we had lunch earlier this week, and we had a meeting earlier this week, and I told him what I was doing at church. He said, oh, Gary, he said, and he's very plain, you know, he don't get emotional. He said, God, why does God, I said, Benton, send me your top five examples of why you believe God exists. He said, oh, I have about 100. I said, well, I don't need 100, Brother Ben. And he did. He sent me an email, and he sent me 13. I wish I had time to read all. Some of them you'd be scratching your head with. But I do want to include one. See, when you open your eyes and see God's creation,
You some things you see, you know they're beyond man's capabilities. You ain't no way you can do. Oh, no. I know some guys that are so smart. They're not this smart. They're not this smart. Oh, they're beyond some people's, out man's imagination. And I know there are some of us, we are very creative, and we can draw, we write, and we create these, all of these. But God's imagination, oh, I could take all day long. I was looking through some things. I'm like, my, whoa. And you know what? It's made me, and I'm not one that like to travel a lot. But now there's so many places. So many things, I just want to see them. And maybe we need to share them with each other of the things that we've seen. I know one brother told me years ago, he says, I was in Hawaii and I stayed in this place and I opened my eyes in the morning, my one eye opened, and I saw a sight that said how great thou art. Oh, some of you have seen it. Now, some of us, we haven't been outside our neighborhood. Some of us need to get out a little bit. Man, I know it takes money. But can I just show you a few pictures? It's just a few pictures. I want to show you a few pictures. I'm going to stop at my appropriate time. Let's see. Junior, help me. Help me. Let's look at a few of God's creatures. Some of it I don't have to say all that. This is them. It's called a mandarin fish. Say it's found in the south of Australia. Some of you may have seen it. I haven't. Anybody been to Australia? Australia. Oh, we need to get out. Oh, that's a hand. Been to Australia. Yeah. Yeah, you won't find that fish in Galveston, I don't think you. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember what this is. A lionfish. It's the lionfish. That's not the legal name for it, but don't touch this one, because this has venom in the fish, and if you mess with it, it'll put you in your place. But isn't it beautiful? Anybody have one of those at home? You think you can make that? Go to the next one. That looks played on it. Would you call that a duck? I like art and I like drawing. How long do you think it took God to paint that? That's beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Show me the next one, Virginia. Anybody like flowers? Yeah. I like them. I can't grow them. What do you think was going on in God's mind? Notice this. I'm going to make something. I'm going to make some beautiful things. He didn't have anybody to consult with. It all came from, see, the evolutionists will think you, will tell you that the world evolved. Everything just made, you know. Come on now. I don't care. Does that even make? Some things you listen to people that are smart and you say, well, sure it could happen. Sure, over billions of years, anything could evolve. I could sit clipboard. I could sit this on this desk and you can die and come back from the grave. 100 years later, the building might fall down. It's not fixing to change to a beautiful flower like we just saw. And you know that. Show me another one, Junior. My Lord, my God. All we're doing is looking. That's all we're doing. You see, some things, we can spend our time, we can write a dissertation. I mean, because I'm like, what am I going, what formulas? Anybody been to Niagara Falls in here? Wonderful, yeah. Yeah. I haven't been there either. I don't think I've been there. Can we see another one? There's a brother brother was talking about this week, about what you call this, he told me what it was, I can't. What do you think God had in his mind when he, don't say anything, just say, I don't know. Because you don't know. Can we see it? Oh my goodness. Is that a peacock? Oh, how beautiful. God, you got to admit, God got some taste. God got some taste. Notice that, Brother Gary, I don't know what you call them, God. Somebody smarter than you got some taste. See, this is to those who question. See, some people, they don't know if they even want to call him God. Well, you know, whoever did this, they probably got a little more sense than you. So you can call him whoever you want to. Now, all our point is this morning is to bring our realization to know that you got somebody bigger than you. Can I see just a few more? This was like, man, who? Anybody, one of you got one of these at home? How cute. How cute. How touching. My, you heard about the man that shot that lion this week? Brother Sprigg, don't you shoot? Brother Sprigg like to hunt. Don't shoot. What's the lion's name? I can't remember. Cecil. Believe Cecil alone. Or somebody out. Oh. Is that all of them? That's in the womb. Wait a minute, hold on. Don't get ahead of me. This is what I want to end with. I want to end with, because I just, the incredible egg. The chicken, or the hen, if you will, and I had to do a little research because I visited the country, but I wasn't a country boy. I was there enough. My dad is in country. The female hen, they are the ones that have the eggs. Did I get that right, country folk? Okay, all right. This germinal discs they have in their loins is fertilized or not fertilized by the male sperm that is the rooster. Now, that's the hen, right? That's it. That's the hen. Okay. All right. Get my pictures right. That's the rooster. Notice. There is a difference. Somebody made a difference. The rooster don't have the eggs. Don't look for any eggs in the rooster, all right? Now, if the hen's egg is going to be fertilized, it's fertilized by the rooster. And this egg, it begins when it's fertilized, encloses within a yolk, a yellow yolk. And I started to bring some eggs in, and I just felt like I probably would break one, so I said, I'll just go with the pictures. The yellow yolk travels down in the hen, this long spiraling tube is called an oviduct. It's in the hens. Travels down, then it's, while it's traveling down, it's covered with a membrane. Show the little picture. It's covered with the membrane, and that's the egg white in the yolk. You have the egg, the yellow egg yolk. The membrane, now this happens within the hen as it's going down the oviduct, and it covers it in with the membrane. And just before the egg is laid, it puts a shell around the egg. Now this happens in the lower part of the oviduct. And so just before it's been, it puts the shell around the egg. And then the hen lays the egg. And this happens in about a day's time, in about 24 to 25 hours. So when the hen have the eggs, it goes down the oviduct, covers in the yellow yolk, and then right before it comes out, it puts on this egg shell. And the hen drops the eggs out. They got some hens that'll have chicken eggs every day. You got a good hen, they'll do it for a period of time. Now the eggs that you eat are not fertilized. The eggs you eat are not fertilized. Thank the Lord for those eggs, by the way. But the eggs that are fertilized by the rooster, those eggs have, when they are incubated the right way, in other words, mother hen sits on those eggs. Normally it takes about 21 days. And after 21 days, it sits on that egg and out comes, notice this, this little chick. When the egg is first laid, looks just like any other egg. It has the yolk. It has the egg whites in the egg. And over a period of 21 days, this egg yolk, this egg white, turns into a little small chick, and it evolves and evolves. And 21 days later, at the proper time, this little chick, notice this, while it is in there, it is developing. And it is developing. It has a brain. It has little bones. It has a beak. It has feathers. It grows feet and other essential parts. And it grows them to the point that it's able to actually peck on the shell of the egg, and all of a sudden it comes out. And it comes out walking. Now the evolutionists would have you to think This little dumb chicken was able to mix all of these chemicals up just right. Make its own shell. Now, you know, if the shell is too hard, guess what's going to happen to the chicken? Can't get out. If there's too much liquid in the chicken, the little chick would drown. If it's not enough, it would die. Everything has to be just right in the egg for this to happen. Everything. How many eggs are there in the world? Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord for the chicken. Chickens all over the place. This happens literally thousands of times every single day all over the world. Somebody ought to give credit to somebody who got it going on. And we just take it for granted. And we say, there is no God. Nobody's who or what or where. Open your eyes and take a look at what God has made in the precision in which he made it. Listen, it takes absolutely more faith to be an atheist than to be a child of God, than to be a believer. Because an atheist has to believe some outlandish things that just don't make any sense. How in the world could something come from nothing? And I know, I believe that there are many who would agree with me in here that it takes much less faith to believe in a supreme being than it takes to not believe, to believe that this just absolutely happened by chance. And what God has made, I just wish I had time to go over so many things that God has done. This is a chicken. What do you think happens in our bodies? What do you think happens when, notice this, that little chicken will not come forth if a male and a female don't get together. That's been happening for thousands of years, and anytime something, oh no, bro, Gary, they going in the laboratory now, and they still need a male sperm, and they need a female egg. I don't care who they get it out of, and then when they do it that way, something gonna be wrong. God been in business for a long time. He's been doing it right. And why anyone would question the intelligence? All I'm trying to do this morning is establish the fact. I just don't understand how God would, why good things happen. First of all, you need to have an undeniable belief that God is. That is the beginning of all knowledge. Is to submit that you don't have all the answers. That no, you don't know everything. But somebody knows more than me, and I need to find out everything I can about him. See, God's power is unmatched. I want to read this again as I close. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. You alone are the Lord. Everybody say, God, you alone are God. Notice this. I know you might not be there yet, but it is until anybody who's going to be pleasing to God, until you absolutely put God in his right place. See, I love, you know, that, as Christian saints, there are a lot of things I pray to the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Some things I see happening and I know they're wrong. I'm saying, Lord, why is she? Oh, Lord, you got to help me. You see somebody's doing some wrong, you just feel like the Lord ought to just clean them up. Amen. But see, you don't remember, you not God. Amen. Remember, you don't know everything. See, there's so much you don't know. You don't know how that person was brought up. You don't know what influenced them. You don't know if you were in the same situation that they were in and came up just like that, you might be doing worse than they're doing. You don't know what's going on in their family. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know how much gray matter they have. You don't know what talents they have. So leave that alone. Ask the Lord to give you some strength. Ask the Lord to help you to unbreak. Gary, why did I come up in a family? I wish I was in a family that had a mama and a daddy. Lord, that's God's will for everybody. We mess it up. But if God has given you the opportunity, even right now, to be here, can't you say in your mind, God, you're merciful? Amen. God, you're good. I talked to a brother yesterday who came in on a day of good works, and he said, you know, I'm so glad to be here. He said, I'm in a bad place in my life. He said, I'm just confused. One of the brothers prayed with him. Brother Narva Young prayed with him. He thanked Brother Young for praying with him. And before he left, he said, I need to start over. He said, I got so much, I need to start. He said, and maybe that's where you are right now. But stop blaming God. Amen. Well, I'm just angry. Is it doing you any good? Is it getting you where you need to be? Is your situation changing? Come on. God, no, let me finish this. You alone are the Lord. You've made the heavens and all their hosts, the earth and all that's on it, the seas and all that's in them. You give all life to all of them, and the heavenly hosts bow down before you. God's power is unmatched. Nobody else you can go to that has the power that God has. Notice, God's desire, his desire is an intimate, unique relationship with man. That's what God wants. Notice this in Psalms chapter 8, verse 3, Psalms 8, 3. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. I know I'm going back to the word. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things, God has made us in this special order for this special purpose, and God wants to have an intimate relationship. It's just the same thing that you want for your children. You want, you know, you can't do everything for them, but all you want the best for them. You're trying to make a good life for them, the best that you can. You have high hopes for them. God has high hopes for all of us. And he wants this intimate relationship. But God, he don't twist our arms. Some of us parents, we need to learn something from God. God don't make us do nothing. And when I had a little peace after I got a little sense about me, I used to try to, my girl, I'll tell you what, if you don't get up and do what I said do, I'm going to. I had to kind of had to back up a little bit. Because when you start realizing you can't make them children, we can teach them, we can love them, we can encourage them, we can guide them, we can influence them. I believe that. But it's when they do something out of love that we appreciate it, we love it even more. And God's not gonna twist our arms. But we get out there long enough, God will put something on us, won't he? But when God does it, it's not just to be mean to us like some of us do each other. God is always trying to pull us back in. He's trying to help us. Somebody came here today and it's because something got your attention. You say, you know what, I better go to church this morning. You need to be saying, thank you, Lord. Because God is so loving. He don't give up on us. We give up on him. God desires this intimate, unique relationship. Now, God's expectation and his desired voluntary response, and this is the foundation of this lesson. Why are you trying to show does God exist? Because it's only after you put God in his right place, know who he is, give him his proper honor, respect. And see, so in Psalms chapter 27, verse number 8, David was in this chapter, he says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Because after you realize God is in control, what we need to do is be seeking God all the time. That's God's response. He made the world. He made the world to be inhabited. He put animals in the world, but he put us in charge of the world. Now, brother, a lion can kill you, but we can kill the lion. We put the lion, man has the reasoning power. We can outthink a lion. We can outthink, dinosaurs were big, but they are gone now. We have all the sense. Because why? Because God gave us this ability that he's given nobody else. You might not realize it, but you are very special when it comes to God. Only the angels have seniority over us. Okay, where you come from? And God wants us to seek him. Look for him. Learn of him. Respect him. Honor him. Glorify him. Give him his credit. If you are a great athlete and you can run fast, give God the glory. No, but I worked hard. God did it for you, son. Don't you realize that? No, but I be working hard every day. Who gave you the strength to get up and work? God gave you whatever you have. That's what God wants. Oh, I've read hundreds of books. Who gave you the ability to read? Nobody can do it like I do because God gave you that. And he says to you, seek his face, Jacob, and said, Jacob, and David said, I will seek your face. I don't know. You might be lost. You might be troubled right now. You might be doubting, but give God, seek God, and he'll open himself up to you. Amen. He says this in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while, notice this. This is a warning. While he may be found. If you're here this morning, I know God is good and God is merciful. Seeking while they may be found. There's some folks, some people too smart for God. Too smart for God. This is what you have to be careful with education. Yeah. Educated people call those who are not quote unquote educated simple minded. See, an educated person, that egg example I gave, they'll have an explanation for that. Well, that was a chicken egg. What about an ostrich egg? Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And see, God is not going to give us a test when we get to heaven as to how many books of the Bible you know. See, because there are some people who don't require as much as others when it comes to believing that God is. Sometimes it just depends on where you came from, what you've been exposed to. That's like me. I grew up in the church. I grew up, you know, coming to Bible class and studying the Bible. I've always been taught that there was a God. But suppose my foundation was, well, I didn't see that. I may have come up in an educated environment. I may have come up in an environment nobody never went to church. And we still had things. Everything was fine with me. And so my foundation wasn't that. So I'm starting on this premise that with him, God might not be. I don't know. I don't know. Is there a God? Is there not a God? Would ask you, if you don't believe in God, I got to ask you this. What are you believing in? Some of those professors that's teaching you, that's who you believe in? You know, you see on these professors, they are so smart. They don't have a wife. Their children are. Then you see, arrest one of these professors, they caught up in they're about, I don't want to say this because I don't know if it's, well, I better not say it to him. People you think are good, they strange, people the world upholds, you putting your trust in a job, in a relationship. So you got to believe in something. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the more you seek him, the more you're going to find him. This is not one lesson that will make your foundation absolutely solid, that you know absolutely without a doubt. But if you're going to be pleasing with God, to God, there must be an admission that there's no other but God. And if you need to come to God this morning, you do it by faith, because after all, none of us have seen him with our naked eyes. Oh, excuse me, did I make a mistake? But we have seen him, because we've seen everything that God made, and we see it every single day. And you better believe that God not going to give you that excuse. When you walk in the woods and you see a big footprint that has five paws and a big hoof on the back, but you better believe something's been there. It just didn't get there on its own. And God's footprint is all over this world. Somebody come to Jesus today. By faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believe, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Next week, I'm going to deliver a sermon entitled, Is the Bible Reliable? Is the Bible Inspired? Is the Bible the book that we need to be following? And of course, I believe it, but that's a bias, isn't it? But if you don't believe in the Bible, I just would like for you to bring with you what you do believe. So we can compare them, if you will. But if you need to come to the Lord, come to the Lord right now. If you have something that you need the church to pray for, if you have a prayer request, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.